Chapter 3. Atypical. It should have been a relatively subdued group of Tante that returned to Genkai's temple. However, given the temperaments and energy levels of Yusuke and Kuwabara, to say they were a bit keyed up would have been an understatement. "We're gonna kick some ass over there! Those wizards won't even know what hit them! I, Kuwabara Kazuma, intend to be the greatest wizard to ever come from Japan! I wonder if we'll be able to use that magic stuff to beat up on demons!" The others of the party were considerably less enthused. "I just started at a prestigious high school," Keiko moaned. "I'm never going to be able to get into a good college with a diploma from a school of magic." "But won't it be interesting to learn Western magic?" Yukina tried to distract the taller girl. "Imagine human magic in England." It was not lost on Keiko. "Oh no," she gasped, thinking of something else. "What am I going to tell my parents?" "The truth," Genkai said gruffly. "Just like all the other students from non-magical families must." She glanced around at the team as they touched down in the temple courtyard. "Go home, tell your parents, get some sleep. We have 2 months to work out the details."
"Yes, Genkai,"
Keiko and Yukina chorused. "Yes, Genkai," Kurama echoed distractedly. As Keiko physically steered Yusuke and Kuwabara from the courtyard and down the stairs, repeating Genkai's words about working out the details later, Kurama absently bid Yukina good night and followed. At the bottom of the hill, the others turned toward the bus stop. He waved in acknowledgement of their farewells as he went in the other direction, heading home. Turning a corner, he glanced up at a tree overhanging the sidewalk, his gaze becoming less abstracted. Hiei jumped lightly from a high branch to fall into silent step with the redhead, the occasional brush of a hand against another, the barely perceptible ruffle of a breath, and the quiet slap of shoes on the pavement was all the company either required at the moment. They reached Kurama's house as the setting sun's light faded to copper. Kurama gazed pensively up at the modest house, his hands in his pockets, but made no move to leave the sidewalk. Hiei shifted, barely nudging Kurama's arm with his own, and caught the redhead's instinctive glance. He tipped his head towards the house. "You wouldn't go to such lengths for a typical human," he said gruffly. Kurama paused, his eyes gentling. Hiei's opinion of humans, despite his recent stay in Ningenkai, was little better than the popular opinion of them held in Makai. The average demon was more heartless and less understanding than the average human, but in Hiei's opinion, not by much. Considering this view, to call Kurama's mother atypical was a reassurance and a compliment. The redhead offered a faint smile. "I wouldn't, would I?" Hiei grunted and looked away, pretending he hadn't just said something remotely kind. "Later," he snapped, flickering away. Kurama sighed and entered the house. Automatically towing off his shoes in the foyer, he called out, "I'm home." "Welcome back, Shuichi," his mother, Shiori, called back in reply. He followed the sound of her voice to the kitchen, finding her washing the last of the dinner dishes. "How was the priestess doing?" "She's fine, Mom," Kurama answered, hovering in the doorway. He took his letter from his pocket, gazing down at it as he took a seat at the kitchen table. "Mom, I..." She turned, catching the odd note in his voice. "Yes, Shuichi?" He stared at the letter in his hands, tracing the owl-worn edges. "I..." This was ridiculous. His hands were shaking. He was a centuries-old demon and a master thief. He shouldn't be reacting like this. Shiori sat down next to him, putting a hand over his to still them. "I haven't seen parchment since your father died," she murmured. As Kurama gaped at her, she shifted her fingers to the letter and continued, "Is this what's wrong? May I?" Kurama allowed her to take the envelope from his lax grip, sitting dumbly and trying to will himself to stop trembling as she read the single sheet of parchment inside. Human woman. She is a mere human woman. I am grateful to her, and that's it. I'm not scared. I'm not. Oh, Shuichi, she breathed. I'm sorry, he blurted out. It was her turn to be taken aback as he clenched his fists in his lap and bowed his head. I'm so sorry. I hid it so long. I didn't... It's all right. She ruffled his hair. You've probably been trying to protect your old muggle mother, not telling me. But Shuichi, England? Aren't you being taught here in Japan? This wasn't how it was supposed to go. Yes. What was the cover story? My sensei's taken a teaching position in England. She wants us to go with her, to broaden our horizons. It would be a wonderful learning opportunity. Westerners are so secretive about this. He caught himself leaning forward, almost pleadingly, and knew his eyes were shining. Inari, he was acting like a human teenager. But he was supposed to be one. His mother straightened. But Shuichi, England is Voldemort's base of operations, she said, pained. You can't go. Damn, that was why they were going in the first place, to kill Voldemort again. Mom, he's dead. She paled, and Kurama felt a familiar twinge of guilt. Well, Voldemort had been dead to the public until about 3 days ago. Close enough. How do you know all this? Your father was a wizard, she answered weakly, absently. He's dead? He's really dead? Kurama nodded, eyes flying wide as he abruptly found himself with an armful of crying Shiori. Thank the gods! Oh, thank the gods! She sobbed into his shoulder. Mom? He felt his face heat up and knew it was probably burning a brilliant shade of red. He patted her back helplessly, feeling ridiculous. Nothing in his several hundred years' experience had quite prepared him for this sort of reaction. She'd never succumbed to tears in front of him when she was in the hospital. Why on earth was she doing so now? Mom, please. I'm sorry. It's something of a shock. She collected herself, wiping her eyes with a handkerchief Kurama handed to her. Thank you. And a relief, of course. I've had no news of the wizarding world since your father died. When none of the priestesses contacted me before you were 11, I assumed you had no magic. Shiori took a deep, shuddering breath as she brought herself under control once more and stood. Come with me. Kurama, still adapting to the revelation that his father was a wizard, followed bemusedly as his mother led him upstairs and to the attic trapdoor. As he was a bit taller, he pulled it down at her direction, and they climbed the ladder. Shiori brought him to a rather battered trunk at the far end, kneeling before it. Kurama settled himself next to her and looked curiously from the trunk to Shiori. There's no lock. I know. She stretched her hand out and touched the smooth metal where a lock would be on a normal trunk. Put your hand here and will the trunk to open. Then say, Alohomora. His slim fingers covered hers on the metal plate. Alohomora, he murmured. The lid faded away like mist before their eyes, revealing the trunk's contents. Lying on top was a flat wooden box, inlaid with an elegant abstract design in darker woods and polished to a glossy sheen. Shiori lifted the box reverently. Your father left this to you. He was so certain you would need it. But I suppose you have one already. She placed the box in Kurama's hands. Still, it should be given to you personally. She sat back, glancing at the trunk. Close, she directed, and the lid phased back into place. The trunk can be closed by anyone, but opened only by a witch or wizard, she explained. So it is yours, to do with as you see fit. It is late, and I have an early morning tomorrow. Kurama stood, cradling the slim box with one arm. He guessed that she wanted to break down in private. All right, let's go to bed. It's been a long day. This time, he led as they returned to the second floor and closed the trap door. Good night, Mom, he said softly. Good night, Shuichi. Sleep well. Kurama went to his room, placing the mysterious box on his desk and preparing for bed. There was no sign of Hiei, who slept here as often as not, especially during the rainy season. But he hadn't expected him to come tonight anyways, probably working off his fury at being roped into this, or watching over Yukina for any sign that she doesn't want to go and he can get out of the mission. He turned the covers down on his low bed, then sat at his desk. How nice that worked out. I think I want to be alone for this. He traced the design on the box's smooth lid. Father. He hadn't really thought much about his father before. The man had died before Kurama's human body was a year old. Nearly half of the memories he had were hazy images, not from a lack of mental ability on Kurama's part, but from the simple fact that his infant eye muscles had been unable to focus on anything that wasn't approximately a half meter from his face. As he recalled, his father had been a smiling, sandy-haired man who'd smelled of sawdust. Had he made the box? It was a work of art in and of itself, worth hundreds of thousands of yen, at least. Kurama tried the lid, discovering that it moved easily, with no signs of mildew or warping. Inside, the contents were hidden by a layer of soft black velvet. Kurama set the lid aside and folded the cloth back. More velvet cushioned and displayed a well-packaged assortment of vials, woodworking tools, an eyeglass, two pieces of wood, and a folded sheet of parchment. He withdrew the parchment, delicately opened it, and set to reading. To my precious son. As I write this, the morning breeze is tugging playfully at the rosebuds on the arbor outside your nursery window. They seemed to sprout almost overnight, their bright petals cracking free as quickly as you seemed to outgrow your swaddling clothes and your mother's arms. If you are reading this, I have not survived to see you grow up. I am more sorry for that than I can ever say. I can only hope that these dark times have ended for you. From the day you were born, I have occasionally felt the power your human child's form cannot yet call forth. A wand made for a human-souled wizard will never fully suit you, little one, and I cannot craft one for you now. This box contains all you need to craft a wand that suits you, and you alone, save the magical core. As a magical being, a hair of your non-human form would understandably suit you best. As for the rest, follow the directions enclosed. I have not told Shiori the contents of this letter. She would understand the truth all too well, that you did not choose her as anything more than the first safe place you came across. She would love you still, but that knowledge would only hurt her. I only wish I could have been there as Shiori taught you humanity. I love you, my little son. Be well. Father. Kurama replaced the letter and closed the box with white-knuckled hands. I'm getting too old for this, he muttered, turning off the light.